All right. We're reading here starting at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard, he put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Glory to God. So we're saying that once Jesus came, you and I got born again, and we're not under the Old Testament law. Now, when somebody preaches this, we got to make sure that you understand what I just said. Because the Old Testament law, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. God never changes. He doesn't change. I mean, wouldn't it be something if God woke up one morning and say, okay, today's going to be Tuesday from now on. Then there'd be confusion all over the place. But he never changes. He set him up. And what people think is that because we're not under the law, then we don't have to abide by what the law said. The law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you think just because you got saved, that goes away? No. No, it's still in place. It's just now that this law is operating from the inside out. See? And it works by something called grace, which empowers your spirit to hold you back from what that flesh might try to do. Isn't that wonderful? So it was there all the time. That's why you have problems with people with tithing. Well, tithing is not for today. Well, when is it for? It passed away with the law. Passed away with the law. Abraham tithed. There's no law when Abraham tithed. Well, how can you explain that? Well, that was special. No, no. God never changes. I'm gonna teach some on that. Because Abraham was opening a window. See? That opening the windows of heaven, that's key. Over in Deuteronomy, put it up. Deuteronomy chapter 28, he talked about, over in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, then all these curses shall come on you and overtake you. And he goes all the way down. He says, curse shall be in the city, curse shall be in the field. Then he goes all the way down to verse 23. And the heavens that are over your head shall be brass. That's called a shut up heaven. And the earth as under you shall be iron. That's what it means. It means when you tithe, you open it up. And one day I'm going to teach on all the openings up, opening up heaven. Heaven opened up, and all of a sudden Peter saw a vision. So some of y'all need a vision. So you need to open up heaven. Jesus even multiplying the fishes and loaves. The Bible says he looked up to heaven. I'm talking about an open heaven can give you breakthroughs. Open heaven can give you new ideas. Watch this. Can give you inventions. Open heaven can get you healings. Open heaven can cause miracles to come. It's all in here. Open heaven is even causing angelic spirits to come. You're not supposed to tithe. Get out of town. I wonder you where you are. You got to get out of that mindset. Let that stuff go. You don't need that. Understand, you're not tithing for his benefit, you're tithing for yours. So, I'm talking about changing the world. Because where we left off is that you and I are going to be sent into the world. And that's where we left off at when we were talking about this. And as we're sent into this world, God is going to use you and I to change that world. Get some of my notes from last service. Praise God. Those are some good notes. So we are under grace, not under the law. As God sends us into these places, that we are to go with love, all right? And that for us to advance the kingdom, we're going to have to renew our minds. Because to get saved is not enough. God is not calling you to compete with the world. He's calling you to have dominion over it. Say amen to that. So you've been chosen to change the environment that God is going to send you into. He's going to send you into an environment. And one of the things that's happened now is you know that Satan is trying to get God out of everything. Get him out of the schools, get him out of politics, get him out of media, get him out of everything. Why? So the people can be left under his control. Because when you come, you mess things up. You know, you come and you start talking about Jesus. Well, when you release that name into the atmosphere, something happens. Who is that? The devil said to his, I mean, this was written up, that one of the angels, the devil's demons came back and slipped and mentioned that name. He said, don't you ever mention that name in this place. But anyway, so what am I saying here? I'm saying that we have to renew our minds. If we want to change the conditions of the places that we're being sent to, we're not going to just change them by trying to beat somebody over the head with the Bible. No. There's going to have to be some kind of demonstration. There's going to have to be something different about your life than is about theirs. I can guarantee you that. So what I'm saying is this, is that you've been chosen and we're going to work to renew your mind. He says in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, that your thoughts are not my thoughts, and neither your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God wants us to change our thinking. Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2 says, and I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what is happening here is that we've got to get our minds renewed to the Word of God, because what has happened in the world is something called unbelief. And unbelief is virtually everywhere. We're surrounded by unbelief. In fact, even our educational programs are shocked with unbelief. Now, why is that? Because people have taken God out. Well, if you take God out, you don't have anything but the natural strength. You don't have anything but natural ability. And if you don't have anything but natural ability, Satan can do something called contain you. Now, containing is where he wants it, because you got born again, so he couldn't stop that. But what he doesn't want you to be is effective. And so he tries to contain us. Now, if you look at a couple of places, and I won't go there, and I'm just talking about it now. But in Mark chapter 4, remember, they were to go from one side over to the other, as you remember. And they were in a sea. And all of a sudden, here comes a storm, which they had not predicted. But this storm comes up. And this storm really is sufficient to the degree that it's going to sink this boat. Now, it's interesting about this, because only faith can get you across that water. Only faith can take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. Only faith can really do what God has called you to do, or called you to break through this wall of containment. Only faith can do that. So now faith has to be taught. And what we've had is we've had sermons that feed unbelief. We've had messages that were bordering on unbelief, doubt, even fear. If you remember over in Numbers chapter 13, when the 12 disciples came back from the other spying out the land of Canaan, they came back and, interesting, they had two reports. One of them, 10 of them had a report that the Bible calls evil. And this evil report said that there are giants in the land, and you'll find it brought an evil report to the land, and they said there are giants and sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were on our own side as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Now notice what they did. They preached something, but they didn't preach according to God's word. Now hold on when I say this. I mean this, that renewing of your mind is a process. And it's a process of substituting God's logic for our own human reason. It's a process by which we are going from what we believe, which most of us had been victims of. You and I were born in the world, we were raised in the world, we were taught the world's way. Now, very few people were taught God's way from birth, from a young person, but most of us taught the world's way. So when we logically reason things, we're reasoning them according to human reason. That is, from what man can do and man's perspective, mankind. And so what happens is, if the mind is not renewed and somebody gets up to preach, they're going to preach this Bible based on what they think is possible with man. But God didn't want us to preach that. I said, God never planned for us to preach that. It said over in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, Jesus said this, 18 in verse 8, he said this, he said, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith in the earth? Now, it's a lot of things he could find in the earth, but he named faith, because faith is the access to everything else you would need. And so would he find faith? And it's interesting how people sometimes gravitate towards ministries that are not preaching faith, that are not really preaching the word of God. Now, when I say that, I'm not coming down on ministers, I'm coming down on the word. And because the Bible says something about truth, it says that in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, now what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man be a liar. Now what am I saying? I'm saying that this Bible is not a truth. It is the truth. Because there's only one truth. Now there's a bunch of lies, and that's why it says a lie. But this is the truth. And truth is the highest realm of reality. You got what I'm saying? Now, your situation may not look like truth. In other words, it may look like something that is not lined up with the word of God. But you have to understand that, wait a minute, what you need to do is apply the truth to your situation so that your truth will make you free and deliver you from the situation you're in. Because the word of God, glory to God, in the earth is the strongest force in the earth. Your faith in the word of God. In other words, no matter what your situation might look like, why don't you apply some faith to it? When I came here with $200, it didn't make any difference, because the truth is wealth and riches are in my house. And if you check my house right now, wealth and riches are in my house. My wife and I gave hundreds of thousands of dollars into this ministry this year. This year. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on him. Because his word says, even though you got $200, if you hold fast to the word that I preach in my word, this gospel right here, it will change your situation. Now, if somebody's situation has not changed, they have been contained. They have been held up by a spirit that is not the spirit of God. Because if they listen to BW, then they go change. If they just decide they don't want to change, that's a whole nother thing. But I'm going with the word of God. Say amen to that. Now, I gave you that not bragging on myself, but I am, praise God, she and I are the biggest givers, I believe, in the church. Now, I got to check the records to see, but I don't want you to outdo me. Because, wait a minute, I'm not trying to compete with you, I'm trying to compete with myself. I know that I'm looking for the top man. Who's the top man? I believe that the God that I serve will take me as far as I want to go. Say amen. It's not about money, folks. It's about doing the will of the Father. It's about manifesting his glory so that people will see something different about my life. My life. Here we are on the ship on a cruise last week, and people come to me, can you preach a sermon for us on a cruise? Sermon? My wife said, you on vacation. I said, I know it, but they want me to preach. Just saying, wait a minute, people have seen something different about this man right here. And see, what we're doing is we're living around a world of unbelief, and we can't let the unbelief seep into the church. What we got to do is let the faith seep into the unbelief. So this is where we are, folks, and God desires us to have all kinds of things, but these things have not manifested in the church, mainly because the church has still been seeping in unbelief. We've been accepting things that have not been God's plan for our lives, and we've been busy competing with the world instead of dominating it. You know, I was telling him about a friend of mine who we talked last night, and she was telling me about, you know, she finished her PhD in civil engineering or something like that, and in physics, she had a PhD in physics, and so forth. We're talking about what? It's that, you know, when I go through those classes, I matriculated through those classes at the university, and you know, I would come out and have the top grades in every class. I mean, even in my math classes and so forth, I'd have the top grades in there, and said, you know, Pastor, I didn't know what those grades, I didn't know the answers to those problems. But I'd pray in the spirit each morning when I got up. Watch it. And when I pray in the spirit for 5 minutes, I go to those classes. I take those examinations and I take those exams, and the next thing you know, I'm making the best grade, 4.0, so forth and so on. I said, look, she said, I hated to tell them that I didn't know the answer, but I'm just saying, wait a minute, why don't we put God back in the school? Because now they're gonna see something different about your life, and they're gonna wanna know what you got a hold of. Are you with me here? So I'm saying this is something that has got to happen, and so we got to stop being contained. And when I remember we were in Sister Beverly's house trying to get out, and we tried to get out and tried to get out, and each time our money would be eaten up and so forth, the car would break down. And pretty soon I said, I'm gonna stop this mess. I said, I'm going on 3-day fast, I'm going on that fast. And then God told me, he said, declare what you want. Now what did I do? He was pulling me over to faith. See, I'm trying to get out with money. You can't get past Satan with money. Come on. Some people try to get past him with who they know. You can't get past Satan with who you know. Then I'm gonna shut you down before nighttime. And I'm talking about, so why don't we just step back and say, wait a minute, let me stop this. We are well able. Let us go up at once and possess this thing. Now, I know in certain people's lives, this may not mean much. And the reason why it may not mean much, because you're not going anywhere. You don't plan to go anywhere. But here's what's been happening, that I found out what was happening. I have unconsciously allowed folk who not going anywhere to cause me to be contained. I have not preached this word like it's supposed to be preached. Say amen to this. Because when you come back here and start preaching this word like it's supposed to be preached, things supposed to happen. I said things are supposed to happen. And so I went into my notes and I began to kind of say, okay, now what was the difference between people who didn't believe and people who did believe? Well, the obvious difference is that they can go into their wealthy place. They could get to the environment that they want. But I saw something, that once you and I get born again, that's not the end of our Christian experience. That we are supposed to go from faith to faith. I'm talking about anything that is hindering you or would mock your redemptive testimony. It's supposed to be changed. Say amen to that. Now, let's just take your body, for example. And I used some scriptures this morning. Now, the term for it is shalom, meaning nothing broken, nothing missing. And when you are made to go into those environments, when you get born again, let's say you go into those environments and something happens to you and you get injured. Something happens. You didn't see it. The enemy got you on the blind side and you got hurt. Well, God says you're going to be healed. Come on now. God says no weapon, come on, formed against you is going to prosper. So what I got to do is I got to get back in the Word of God and see what God said about my healing. Now, wait a minute. I know I can do this and I can go get a false thing or whatever have you. I don't want no false. I want the real thing. Come on. I want it just like the book got it. See, I can preach this down here, but if I preach this down here, that's all the faith you're going to have. See, I got to come up here. And I've been going down there trying to sympathize, and I'm almost like Moses about to strike the rock. But now I've got to let that go. Because if you can't get on my boat, then you might have to want to do something else. Because I'm going to take this group over the way God said it's supposed to go. Now, I'm not particularly concerned about professionals and so forth. You can do that with what you want to. I'm just saying the scripture said, let God be what? True, and every man be a what? Lie. Meaning that if it's not lined up with this right here, y'all see this right here? If it's not lined up with this right here, let it be a lie. Now, I know that it's the way people do things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in this book, it says homosexuality is a sin. Come on now, I'm not trying to be politically correct on it. Now, I'm not coming down on people, because I saw in here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, I saw this. In chapter 5, if something's wrong with you mentally or psychologically, I saw down here in Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see it It was done, was done, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, what? Sitting, come on, clothed, and what else? In his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, I'm just talking about you might be out of your mind today, but the God that I serve, come on, you got to hear what I'm saying. I just finished preaching, and a man came up to me after. He said, Pastor, what you're saying is true. He said, I went and put some oil on my mom and daddy because they could never get along. He said, and you ought to see them now. He said, and I took some more oil because in my building they got all this music playing and so forth. I took my oil and put it in there, and they moved out. I'm just saying, what happened to the oil? Come on, what happened to the blood? Come on, what happened to the faith? What happened to the word? I'm just saying, somehow we have come down and dropped our standards trying to accommodate people that don't want to go anywhere anyway. Those days are over. Folks, this stuff's supposed to work right now. It's not supposed to take 20 years for this to work. It's supposed to work right now. And because the church has backed off, we're the only standard left in the world, so the world is going haywire. But what we got to do is stop being politically correct. That's what we got to start with. We got to stop compromising on what God says is true. If he says by his stripes I'm healed, I don't care how I'm limping, by his stripes I am healed. Now you got to stay with that, because nothing is more powerful than the word of God. And stop trying to gravitate towards somewhere when somebody ain't preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to not get in that, because it's unbelief and it's going to affect you. And then the next thing you know, you're going to want everybody else to come down. Don't you come down. Don't you make them come up. Say amen to that. Now we're going to make this thing work. We're going to make it so when somebody come in here sick, they're going to leave well. Come on, we're going to make it. Listen, folks, we got miracles happening. I've been telling you about all the miracles because I'm just waiting on put them all together. I'm here to tell you right now, we are going to see the glory of God manifest in the church. Here's what he said. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Jesus said, the works that you shall do shall be greater than the works I did. Yes, sir. It's time for the greater works. It's time for the greater works, folks. And Jesus did some miracles. Glory to God. This is our time. Clothed and in his right mind. Folks, people are going to be raised from the dead by the hundreds. Because it wasn't time for them to die. The devil killed them. But in each case, look at Mark chapter 3. And look what he says. In Mark chapter 3, he says in verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. They weren't even concerned about the man. See, some folks are coming to church. They ain't concerned about people that's hurting.
Amen.
And that's got to stop, because that's not love.
Amen.
And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. I can hear him right now. See, when you get ready to the breakthrough, don't be trying to stick a pin through it. Stick dynamite in it. Blow the whole thing up. You are not going to be creeping up in your finances. You're going to blow the top out of this thing all at once. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about to them with anger, being grieved for their hardness of heart, he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and the hand was what?
Restored.
Say the word again.
Restored.
Say it louder.
Restored.
Whole as the other. Folks, that means you couldn't tell the difference. What am I saying? I'm saying we're not going to settle for a little bit of healing. We're going to settle for healing that you ain't going to never know you've been injured. We're going to settle for the kind of healing that you never even knew Satan would have been around. We're going to destroy all the works of the devil, all the evidence that he's been in your marriage, been in your family, been in your finances, been in your body, been in your children. We're going to destroy all the evidence. And I'm out of time. Give God praise. This is not just about sitting down trying to get comfortable somewhere. This is not what we're doing. We're moving forward. We've got to take land. We've got to possess this land. We've got to take back what the devil has stolen. All those people in the devil's hand right now being used from the bottom to the top. And what we got to do is take them back. You and I are supposed to have something to say about what goes on in this earth. Say amen.
Amen.
You should be able to walk in a place and announce, Satan, this place is off limits to you. From now on, there's a new sheriff, and I'm him. I'm representing him right now, and you're going to have to let go of everybody that's up in here.
Amen. Amen.
Get wild with your faith.
Amen.
Say amen to this.
Amen.
Stop trying to be so conservative and so nice. Don't nobody care. They don't care about that about you. In their mind anyway, that's weakness. You know, I'm just saying you don't have to be rude, but you do have to be rude to the devil.
Yes.
Everything that he's done, we're going to reverse it.
Yes.
This nation will know and the world will know that the church is alive and well. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. These are the last days here now. This is the time that the glory is going to be manifested.
Yes.
From sea to sea. People are going to be seeing God's power break out over everywhere. Woo! Did y'all get something out of that? I had a lot more to tell you. What am I saying to you? Stop trying to be comfortable and start trying to be conformable. Let him shape you. He knows what's in you. I saw this thing the other day, and looking at it, it's about this lady. It's a story coming on TV, and he told her, They tied her up on a chair, and so he left. And then they cut on a big fan, and the fan was going to suck her in and destroy her when it got strong enough. And she started trying to get away and so forth. And then something hit her, and she turned into, you know, Superwoman. And all of a sudden broke the thing, broke the chair, and went out to him. She said, "Why did you leave me?" He said, "I left you because I knew what was in you."
Amen.
I'm telling you, he takes you to certain situations because he knows what's in you.
Amen.
Give God some praise. Woo! It's in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you need to be saved, this is a good time for it. Remember, Jesus died for your sins. And because he died for your sins, you're here today. The Bible says the mercy of God is still being covered.